Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Happy Friday. Today we're going to be talking about Sandy Monroe starting the teardown of the Plaid Model S motors. We've also got an upgraded rating from Daewoo on Tesla stock, possibly some news on vehicle identification numbers from Texas, of course our daily SEC battle update, news on FSD beta in Canada, Tesla Energy, and a couple other items as well. Another pretty strong day for the markets today, though the NASDAQ did trail behind the S&P and the Dow. Those were both up 2 and 2.5% respectively, the NASDAQ only up 1.6%, so not all that surprising to see Tesla a little bit lower performance in that environment, up 1.1% on the day, closing at $809.87. Yesterday we talked a little bit about some of the macro and supply chain challenges that could crop up and specifically affect Tesla due to the Russian invasion and the possibility of other sanctions potentially being applied if there is further international escalation. But there is a flip side of that coin, and that is relative performance, and people are starting to think a little bit more about that. And that idea was essentially the theme of an updated note from Daewoo today on Tesla. They have upgraded their rating on Tesla to outperform, though they did cut their stock price target to 900 from 980. As we've talked about, generally that rating is a little bit more of the important piece. And with this note, Daewoo's analyst noted that, quote, Tesla's ability to export out of cost-efficient China and history of better managing chip shortages in 2021 could strengthen its competitive position under the current Russia/Ukraine situation. At the same time, higher oil prices and potential scenario of fuel shortages, especially in Europe, could accelerate the shift to EVs, end quote. So my take on this is a little bit different. I do think those things are accurate, and Tesla's relative position could be improved through some of these things. I think longer term, you kind of look back at moments like this, and they certainly do drive changes in decision-making, policy-making, and I think those things will favor the direction that Tesla is heading. So long term, I think those are important things to think about and understand. Shorter term, I think the supply chain risk is more important. We usually come from a place of Tesla being supply constrained in terms of our thought process. So something like increased price of oil or fuel shortages, yes, those would be tailwinds for demand for electric vehicles, for Tesla vehicles, for energy storage, for solar. But if you approach Tesla as supply constrained, then all that stuff doesn't really matter. Maybe Tesla can adjust pricing to compensate for increased demand, and we have seen that. So maybe there's a bit of a margin boost there, but between the two, I'd rather reduce supply constraints than further increase demand, which already can't be met. Now, there's the reality and then there's perception, right? So if Wall Street collectively thinks, oh, this is a good thing for Tesla, then that's probably going to reflect in the share price, even if it doesn't actually really make any difference in Tesla's financials. So hopefully that makes sense from a short-term perspective. And then as time goes by, Tesla should hopefully be able to continue to remove supply constraints. And in doing so, should be building into a market with more robust demand for things like energy storage and EVs, which are critical to fulfill an increasing desire from these countries because of these events to accelerate their own shift to energy independence. That's already a big wave that Tesla is riding, and this should just make it even bigger. The other thing I want to take a quick look at, and then we'll move on from more of the stock-related stuff. So next week, we do have some macro events to keep an eye on, specifically on Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern time, so half an hour after the market opens. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell will be testifying to the Joint Economic Committee. This is a normal proceeding. It will be a prepared statement followed by a Q&A, and oftentimes that can move the market a little bit. So obviously a lot to pay attention to from a macro perspective, but that is one more thing for next week. All right, next up today, we've got a new video from Monroe & Associates. They are continuing their teardown of the Plaid Model S, and today they are getting into the Plaid motors. We've of course heard Elon talk about how challenging this was from an engineering perspective. The carbon fiber wrapped rotors that Elon said can now get up to 20,000 RPMs, and he thinks they can even push it a little bit beyond that. Throughout the whole video, there were a lot of superlatives for Tesla. I'd recommend watching it. It's only 25 minutes or so, and they're going to be able to explain things better than I can for sure. But obviously the rotors were one of the highlights, one of the things I was looking forward to their comments on. Sandy was impressed with the carbon fiber wrapping. Obviously they knew to expect that, but they did have a suggestion that Tesla should, instead of just winding it, do sort of a weave cover. I'd recommend reading the comments on that video for that piece, because I think there are good counterarguments that were made and why Tesla went with this decision. And we've heard Tesla talk about how difficult this whole process was anyway. So after setting that aside, Sandy did continue with the praise, and looking at that carbon wrapping, he said that there was an element that unfortunately I don't have enough understanding of to explain why, but he was saying that he would have expected, based on what he has seen in the past, that design to lead to pulsing of the motor, and that he has not noticed any of that. So he said that because of that, he was astounded, and quote, I've never seen anything like this before on a high-speed, high-power motor, and I think it's because Tesla has invented some new physics or something, end quote. So if you follow Sandy, obviously you can understand that that's a tongue-in-cheek comment. He doesn't actually think that, but it's just a way of saying that he's very, very impressed with what Tesla has done with that design. One of the other really cool things that they showed was Sandy taking the inverter piece off of the Plaid motor, taking it over to the Model 3 front motor, drops it right in, shows a perfect fit for interchangeability. Then he picks it up, takes it over to a Model Y front motor, drops it in, perfect fit, and then the exact same thing with Model 3 rear and Model Y rear motors as well. They also spent a fair amount of time talking about the magnets that Tesla has incorporated, how Tesla has come up with some cool things on that design, and they also did a comparison between the magnet strength of a few different EVs. They put together a chart comparing these, and on average, they were seeing that the magnets for the Model S were 85% stronger than the magnets in the Ford Mustang Mach-E. Not an engineer, but I would assume that that would be quite helpful for power density. Now, obviously, the Mustang Mach-E and the Model S, very different classes of vehicles, but that's what they had to compare with. A lot of other tidbits in that video as well, so check that out. I'll put a link in the description today. And then next up, we maybe have some news on Giga Texas. Maybe not. It's a little bit confusing, but there was a member on the Tesla Motors Club forum that reported that they have been assigned a vehicle identification number from Tesla that has an A as the 11th digit. An A there would indicate that the vehicle is made in Austin. They did share a screenshot. Obviously, that could be photoshopped. And if you do put this VIN into NHTSA's VIN decoder, it does populate an error saying that the check digit does not calculate properly. If you change that check digit to a 3, it ends up working. There's some discussion that Tesla can't actually get that final VIN until they do have that EPA certification that we were talking about yesterday. I don't really know if that's accurate, but the theory following that idea is that once Tesla had the certification, they would just correct the check digit and that would be the VIN good to go. Beyond that, I don't really think it's worth spending all that much time thinking about or analyzing or trying to figure out if it's correct or not. We know Tesla still needs certification, so it doesn't really matter either way, and we know we're close. It would be an exciting milestone for sure, but let's wait for a little bit more confirmation. All right, next up, we've got a statement from Elon Musk on the SEC investigation of him and Kimball for insider trading that we had talked about yesterday. Elon continuing to be uncharacteristically responsive to some of these media outlets. He responded to the Financial Times about this, saying, quote, Kimball had no idea I was going to do a Twitter poll, end quote. The idea that I would care about whether my brother might sell shares for a few million dollars less when my Twitter poll caused my own share sale to be over $1 billion less is utterly absurd, end quote. So I think he makes a pretty compelling point there. And like I said yesterday, if there was any coordination here, the timing would be so ridiculous that to me, that makes it unlikely. Somebody might read those quotes and say, well, he's not denying that Kimball knew that he was going to sell stock. And yeah, he's not outright denying that, I guess, but we don't know the question that was asked to him. And that's a little bit aside from the point anyway, because everybody should have known that he was going to sell shares in Q4 because he had said that much earlier on the Kara Swisher Recode podcast. How it was done and the fact that Elon sold a few extra shares was the surprising part, not the timing. Elon added in his comments on this that it was, quote, simply more evidence of Stevie grinding his very tiny axe yet again, end quote. That's a reference to the regional enforcement director for the SEC that has been involved in these investigations. While we are on the topic of the SEC, we've talked a little bit about the efforts to make short selling a little bit more transparent, have more reporting on that. So the SEC has proposed a new rule that would require some more reporting for investors holding short positions. That would be a form SHO that'd be required on a monthly basis within 14 calendar days of month end. There's a couple of different criteria that could trigger that requirement. First being if the short position is on a gross basis greater than $10 million at the close of any settlement date throughout the month, or if it's less than $10 million but greater than 2.5% of the outstanding equity of that security. So if the market cap was below $400 million, you could still have a less than $10 million short that needed to be reported. Or for, from my understanding, smaller companies that don't have the same reporting requirements, if you have a short on them that exceeds $500,000, you have to report that. If any of those are met, the fund has to report the name of the security, the end of month gross short position, as well as the daily trading activity on that position. So they have to file that, but I don't think all of that actually ends up being published. I think all of that except for that daily activity is what the SEC will then publish to others. Now again, this is just a proposal at this stage, but if this were to go through, certainly a lot more information than we would have today, which really is not anything. All right, getting back to Tesla-specific things, we've got a couple of updates up north. First, on the status of Canada FSD beta. Elon noting on Twitter that Tesla has had about 60 cars or so internally testing FSD beta in Canada, and that they are hoping to go wider this weekend. Now, what wider means, obviously a little bit unclear, could mean wider internally, or maybe bringing in some public beta testers as well. The other update, this one is from Alaska, and I do apologize, this is kind of older news, but I saw a Clean Technica pick up on this today and I hadn't seen it covered previously. Tesla on February 1st had shared out a video noting the completion of a 37 megapack project in the Kenai Peninsula in Alaska, 93 megawatt hours in total, integrating with the energy infrastructure that they have there. So it's always nice to see those energy projects completed, especially in such extreme climates. Next, a really quick update from JD Power. They've been doing a study on home charging stations, and pretty unsurprisingly on this, I think, Tesla has received the highest customer satisfaction score with their wall charger, and this is for the second year in a row. All right, last couple of things for the week then, updates on Volkswagen and Ford. So in the wake of the Russian invasion, Volkswagen has announced that they will need to halt production at their Zwickau and Dresden plants in eastern Germany for a few days in early March because of shortages on parts made in Ukraine, including electric cable sets. So Zwickau, that's where they make a lot of their electric vehicles. They have a capacity of 330,000 vehicles per year there. And as far as I can tell, they don't have an expected date for when production would restart. So something we'll try to keep an eye on for Volkswagen. And then separately, Ford said today that they'll be halting production at their Kansas City assembly plant that makes Ford F-150s for 1 week due to semiconductor shortages. All right, that really is it for today and for the week then. I hope everybody has a safe weekend. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you on Monday for the February 28th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.